Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I need to stay near the microphone. I'm excited to hear a lot about extension this morning. And I want to share with you an experience I had as an extension agent slash communicator slash educator, internationalizing extension through agriculture volunteer opportunities. Let's see how this goes. Okay, so we all heard about benefits of internationalizing extension, right? It can build expertise in working with other cultures, so we can learn about how to engage them better in any of the objectives, goals we have in our own programs. Working also with similar groups in our local communities, because now we understand that to deliver some global programs, we don't have to take a plane anymore and just fly far, far away. We have a lot of diversity in our audiences, and if we haven't encountered some of them, we just need to look harder because they are in our local communities as well. Personally, I work in South Florida, and some people consider it another country already, in Homestead, Miami-Dade County, and I have a lot of audience from different countries from Central and South Florida, so I have to be creative to deliver some programs. And also another benefit is to address issues, global issues, that we all encounter at local and international level, like some examples, food security, food production, like we heard, family, youth, education, and natural resources. This is not something that is limited by any border. This is something that, based on the region, it is just a local and global issue as well. So, in summary, the international experience of working with a diverse audience enriches a cultural understanding because we can relate to those individuals, those participants that we want to create an impact. We want to deliver some knowledge and induce some change of practices. We want also enhances critical thinking because, believe it or not, you get creative when you are abroad or when you're working with a diverse audience, because maybe what works for a certain group that you work all the time, it doesn't actually apply to a new group because of demographics, because of gender, because of maybe where they come from, the cultural barrier. So we get creative. We tend to learn how to approach those better, even if it's a one-to-one consultation or a field visit, which sometimes happens to me as well, and improve our leadership skills because we get out of our comfort zone. We are not doing maybe the same thing that worked 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We have to think out of the box and just try to engage to that person and just deliver our programs. Now we come to the downside, funding. Isn't that such a hard word for everyone in here? So many times we just find against the wall trying, okay, this is all great. I want to work with diverse audience, maybe international clientele as well, but who's just going to raise my hand and anyone is going to throw money at me? No. So as an extension agent, also I know this. So because it's not something like so hard to just realize. But luckily, for this kind of work, if you want to grow personally and professionally, there are some organizations, some programs already in place. So I was lucky to be contacted by this farmer-to-farmer, and now it's F2F from now on, the acronym program that is supported by the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. So to provide some technical assistance to farmers in developing or transitional countries, not far away from us as well. We can go so far, so south, like Central and South America. So the goal is to promote sustainability in any of their production areas. Could be livestock, could be business management, could be production, ornamentals, vegetables, etc. what does it cover? It covers pretty much everything, which is great. It covers airfare, lodging, meals, health insurance, which is very important when you're abroad, and other assignment-related expenses. What do I mean by this? You're not going to end up buying maybe an electronic microscope for your own lab, but maybe you can buy some mobile devices that will enhance the program you want to deliver out there. Then, and it's approved by many land-grant universities, such as University of Florida that I work for, and since you just coordinate with your superior, with your directors, they just give you approval for it. So I found out that within UF Extension, to my knowledge, we've done some F2F programs in Guatemala, Haiti, but also there's some others in Nicaragua and Dominican Republic as well. So to provide trainings to farmers, maybe small growers, cooperatives, other institutions, and university students too. So my assignment, I was recruited to deliver a plant nutrition and fertilization for ornamental plants, flowers, and foliage. Such a long title for my assignment. What I found on the way there, which is very interesting, so I flew to Guatemala, that's the place where I was assigned to, and then I happened to realize on the left here, she's our field officer, and these other two gentlemen here, they're also extension agents, which I don't know if you, when you have people that work in your field, but you usually don't get to see them unless you run into a conference. That was for me, Guatemala. It's like, what are you doing here? And they're like, we're on a farmer-to-farmer assignment from another umbrella under USAID. And we're like, whoa, okay, so let's do this. They went on to do their own assignment, and I went on my own, my team of one to do my own my assignment. So now you know, I went to Guatemala, and in summary, this is what I did. I went to everyday field visits, and not only to one nursery, maybe, usually one to two. So I was up at 6 a.m. ready to go, because, so means I was, yeah, I woke up by 5, because you don't know which grower, who is going to pick you up that every morning. It's kind of a blind date thing. So you were looking for someone at the lobby, and they kind of were looking for someone else. So just wait for a lot of people. And then when they took me in to their trucks, we just went bumped into those places, I always got an interview like, so you're so young. And like, because they usually get retirees or more, I guess, I don't want to say older, but experienced faculty. After I gave them all my credentials, we went on to all the questions they had for me. Oh boy, they did have questions for me. So I did a lot of data collection, of course. I was taking a lot of image and videos if I could. And I prepared a presentation that to make it relevant for them from their own scenarios, okay? So as you can tell, I'm also a Spanish speaker, and so it was easy for me to deliver this trainings for them as well. And at the end of the assignment, I had to turn in a report before I head back to the U.S. That was kind of the deal for them to reimburse all my expenses. So I want to put some images instead of more words just to explain. We have a variety of scenarios within this small country, Guatemala, as well. So we have, for example, on the left here, we have shade house, which is covering here because there is it's more like a tropical scenario, and they were growing crotons, which is, I don't know if you've seen it in hotels or landscape. Then I went into something more similar to what is a greenhouse here, where they were growing roses. And here, I went into some of these locations by Dumen, the Dutch-German. They also needed me, so they had like a free consultant for them as well. So small, medium, and big operations. This was all arranged before I didn't get to choose which places I went. It was told to me when I was on my arrival. So, and this is a family-owned operation. Here we have another grower asking me a question about pests. By the way, the title was about nutrition, nutritional deficiencies. They asked me everything else, bad at, probably. So I brought all my extension knowledge to them. And finally, this is one of the 2 days classes, because I end up breaking up in 2 day classes because so much information I had to give it to them. So what are the lessons learned here? I would tell you, be very flexible with your schedule, because like I said, I was picked up maybe at 6 a.m. and I was returned maybe by 7 p.m. every day. So a little 12 hours of daily work, because you only have 2 weeks. Usually it's 1 to 2 weeks assignments. So they really want to take advantage of bringing you there. So they will just get all the questions, and when they're done with you, they will let you go. It's kind of a friendly kidnapping thing, but they really have a lot of questions. Be open to try new food. If you have any dietary restrictions, please just work with your field officer. You know, we are now everything free thing, but they're very friendly. They're very accommodating, so they will make anything in their hands to make you feel welcome. Plan ahead. Don't take for granted traditional teaching options, because we get to be a spoil sometimes here. You know, we can, oh, you need this publication. Okay, let me just find a link, download it, or just share it with you via internet. Okay, remember, you are there, maybe in a mountain, might not be even Wi-Fi, or your mobile service is not available, or you might not even have a cell phone. Okay, so you just keep that in mind. Like the 3 whole plugs for hotels, they didn't have the one, so I was a little nervous. Follow up with information. They will ask you so many questions that at the moment maybe you cannot deliver in full, but just take their emails and just follow up. I did that. They really appreciate that effort. Try to be relevant in your class. Sometimes we have some scenarios that might not apply to them. For example, if I went to farms to learn about cows, but I end up talking only about goats, it's kind of not the same deal for them. So that's why I try to document everything. And on Saturdays, maybe Sundays, I will be working on my class for them. So if you don't speak the language of the country you are assigned, don't worry. They already plan ahead. They have translators for you. Yeah? Now my motto is work hard, play harder. So out of these 2 weeks, I had at least 1 day off. Sunday. So I got to visit this beautiful city of Antigua in Guatemala, so it's really pretty. And then I went to hike a volcano here, the Pacaya volcano, if you ever hike that one. Okay, it's a workout, let me tell you. So I was kind of leading with my hands and refused to take the donkey, because it's like, I gotta do it on my own. I made it, obviously. So this is the top, the crater here. And then I just happened to be there. They moved me up in the month, because they explained to me that, you know, based on religion, also sometimes they rather have you out of certain weeks and not in others. Here it was because they were preparing for those who are Catholic, the Holy Week. So I was like, no, I can go later in the month. No, not really, because they're not going to be there. They're going to be celebrating their religious events. So this was a great experience. It was my first, hope not the last, but I'm happy to answer any questions if you have one for me. Thank you.
I did a thing in Guatemala, and Andrea, because my Spanish isn't good enough, took me around. Did she go around with you, the farmers, and try to help initially, or then let you go?
Yeah, the question was if you do not have proficiency in the Spanish language, that the field officer come along with you. Usually, yes. If there are field officers which are usually bilingual, and they will go along with you to translate all your what you're teaching. I did not need her to go with me because I speak the language. So, but they would. Mm-hmm.
Over the years, or is it
Yes, actually, I have. The question was, if after the assignment it's over, some of the local growers continue a relationship with you, keep asking you questions regarding their production, etc. Yes, they do. They keep. I give them my email, and they keep asking me questions because nowadays we have to understand. Guatemala, it's growing very fast, especially in ornamentals and nurseries. And the second generation, all the kids of main growers are kind of bilingual now. They went to U.S. universities, and they're very easily for them also to communicate in English, as easier than their parents, the first generation. So they keep asking me questions. Yes. The question was about the briefing of the final report at the end of the assignment. Like I mentioned, very brief, but yes, you have to submit a report about the objectives of the assignment you were recruited for, what did you accomplish, demographics, how many people you visit, how many people you taught during these field visits, and how many people you delivered these workshops to. See, all of that, plus expenses and proof of that. It was sent to the field officer before I left the country, and by the time I arrived, they just did the process here. They have headquarters, different institutions. Like in this case, it was with Partners of the Americas. The headquarters are DC, and they follow up with a reimbursement to you. That's after you turn in everything.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. That was very interesting.